Welcome. This is Sean Hiddle, Lawrence Journal World and Six News reporter, and I'm joined today by local authors and longtime Lawrence residents Jason Arnett and John Bond for a podcast conversation about National Novel Writing Month, which is an annual event that challenges writers across the country to write a 50,000-word novel entirely in the month of November. Jason and John are the winners of the Journal World's first-ever National Novel Writing Month contest. They were randomly selected from 13 other local writers who successfully finished a novel this November. Jason will receive 5 bound copies of his finished novel, and John will receive a $100 Downtown Lawrence gift certificate. First of all, I'd like to welcome both of you gentlemen here today, and thanks for participating in this project we had. And congratulations, first of all, not only on being the winners, but on finishing a novel. Pretty impressive feat. So
thanks.
Thanks for participating. I'm going to start with you, Jason. Tell me a little bit about what you do here in town, and you know, how you first got involved with this kind of a project.
My day job is working at food service up at the university. I'm general manager of the largest food court we have up there. About 3 years ago, I discovered NaNoWriMo website, and that's hard to say.
And NaNoWriMo, that's the abbreviation that
yeah, National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. Okay. So and folks that participate are called RIMOs, and I discovered the website about 3 years ago on November 6th, and decided I didn't have time to do it, so I prepared myself to prepare to try and do it the next year, and I signed up on October 29th, 2008, and was ready to go November 1st.
So this will be your this is your second novel.
Yeah, this is second try at it. So
second try. What about you, John?
This is my first time actually. I have been writing for a while. I always just sort of liked writing, and I had a bunch of other friends who shared the same passion, I guess. And they started doing this whole NaNoWriMo thing, and they said, John, you should do it. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I'm spending too much time, you know, playing video games. And eventually, I just sort of got down and decided, yeah, okay, fine, I'll do it this year.
And what do you do around town here?
I'm a piano teacher at the Lawrence Piano Studio, and I also work at the Aurea Bookstore on campus.
So let's get down to the fun stuff. John, tell me a little bit about your novel. What's the title? What is it about?
It is called Dream Solver. It's about a guy who spent about the last year of his life trying to get away from his life, I guess. Things happened to him, and he just really wasn't feeling too glad about it and tried to run away. So he gets in his car and basically throws away everything and just tries to get over it. And I threw in random fantasy elements. You know, it takes place in America. It's for the most part, it seems like a normal kind of guy, except for I wanted to put some sort of fantasy kind of thing, because I hadn't delved too far into realms of magic, and I wanted him to have the ability to sort of see inside of people. You know, he can't actually see people for how they actually look. You know, you see someone, oh, they got some makeup, they're tarted up a bit or whatever else, but he's the kind of person, he can only see how people honestly are. He looks past, he can see if they're really, really stressed out, he can tell if they're lying, other things like that. And he was a writer, and so it helps with this whole interviewing people kind of aspect. And I just wanted to put a couple genres together and see what came out of it.
How do you feel about how it turned out?
I like it, but I really don't like it. When I started, I really didn't have any clue what it was going to be. I had the title, I had the main character, and I had the fact that he was running away. That was pretty much it. I didn't know what he was running away from. I didn't know what all he could actually do in terms of all this magic stuff that I decided I was going to throw in at the last minute. And I had a huge mystery that I ended up bringing out at the very last day, pretty much. I was kind of like, oh, it all makes sense now. That's great. I'm glad I figured it out in time to write the ending. But, you know, that was...
That's not a unique experience either.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So I've heard from.
And John, you didn't have any problem with the length, right? I mean, you went way over.
I got about 93,000 words or something like that. I got about 40,000 of them within the last 4 days of writing. I just didn't sleep or do much anything else. Yeah, it was pretty tough for those last few days, but I wanted to finish the book more than I cared about getting to the 50,000 mark, which is hard enough as it is getting to the 50,000. Yeah, it's a pretty sizable book.
Which breaks up, into about 1,600 words a day if you're keeping on that pace.
Yeah.
Jason, what's the title of your book, and tell me a little bit about what it's about.
Well, it's a sequel to what I wrote last year, which was called Afterlife, all one word and capitalized the L in the center. And this year it's called Overtime, and it's kind of a misleading title because I didn't really explore the time element that I wanted to explore. I thought that I would. What it's about is Penelope Powers is the character that I created last year in my first novel, and last year her journey was to find the life of her mentor who had died in a car accident, and she's a writer, so go figure, writers writing about writers who aren't writing. It just kind of worked out that way. She's written a book and she can't sell it. She starts out in therapy and her therapist is like, you need to get back out into the world. And so she starts out here in Lawrence because it's what I know. So I started it out here. And she finds the angel Lucifer in a cafe, and somebody's taken away his wings and his memory. He has no idea who he is. And so they end up calling him Munin, which was the name of one of Odin's ravens, and it means memory. And she helps him, ends up helping him kind of gate crash heaven to figure out who did this to him and why. So it's really, on a lot of levels, it ended up being about rejection. So, and she's having a hard time finding a publisher. Lucifer was famously kicked out of heaven, and then it's her finding somebody, finding some sort of acceptance along the way. So
now that it's, obviously you're going to have some editing to do on this, but
yeah,
now that you've got the story done, I mean, how do you feel about it? How do you think it turned out?
I'm really happy with about the first 20,000 words and the last 15,000. It's that middle part that was really kind of the big struggle. So there's, about 13,000-14,000 words in the middle that I'm not real happy with, but I need to figure out, a lot of other things before I go back and start actually massaging the words, make sure that each scene feeds into the plot and moves things forward.
Jason, what was the most difficult part? Or, I mean, this is the second time you've done it. What has been the most difficult part?
It's generally about day 12 to day 15 in the month where you've really been. I started off a lot better this year. I got a lot farther into it before I hit that wall, which is, I've run through a bunch of ideas. And those ideas I've exhausted or I've explored or new ideas have popped up. So it's the middle part that's always kind of hangs you up. But the folks, once you're signed up on the NaNoWriMo website, you'll get emails from the folks at the Office of Letters and Light and wherever they're at. Is it San Francisco, California?
Yeah, it's California somewhere.
California somewhere, that mythical state.
Yeah,
and they'll send you these weekly pep talks, and they really, they talk about where you're at and what you're feeling, and they know because they've been doing it for 10 years. So, yeah.
And John, what was the most difficult? Obviously your first time doing this. What did you find the most difficult in all this process?
Getting myself to do it every day, mostly. I mean, if I actually sat down and did it, I would get a fair amount done. But for the most part, it was just going like, I need to stop, working on schoolwork and actually get write, pretty much. It was.
But you're paying to go to school, right?
Sure. Yeah. it was just the drive. It's kind of like, oh, I love writing. I want to keep writing. Yeah, I'm going to do this. But then I sit down and write, and I'm like, oh, if I do this, I'm not going to go to bed until 3 o'clock. I don't feel like doing it tonight. I want to get sleep. No. And it is hard to kind of motivate yourself on a daily, because like you said, 1,600 words a day, pretty much. If you want to get to 50,000 at the end of the month, you get 1,600 about every single day, and that's a lot of words, simply put. Yeah.
Did you take any do you take any days off where you just said,
I'm
not writing today?
I did. I took too many days off, really. I took, I would do my best not to take 2 days off in a row, but I at least took about a week's worth off when I really shouldn't have. I would have been a lot more sane at the end of the month if I had just written every day.
Hmm. What was the best part of this whole process for you?
December 1st.
when it was done.
Yeah.
You had it over.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Jason? What was the most, valuable, interesting, enjoyable thing about this whole process?
The best part was discovering and having a character tell me what she wanted to do. There's a point in the novel where she discovers that she has an ability to see things in a different way. And it was so much fun that it ended up becoming a major plot element as I went on, and it didn't show up until about 20,000 words into the manuscript. So,
you know, when I tried this National Novel Writing Month once a couple of years ago, and I made it about 2 days. so I have a lot of respect for you guys, pulling this all the way through. What advice, John, would you give to people out there who maybe say, I don't have time to do it, I can't do it, I've never written? What would you say to encourage them to maybe give this a try?
Drink your coffee and do it, I guess. Just if you're inspired to write something, just go out and write it. Even if you don't finish it, it's the fact that you actually wrote something. And there aren't that many people out there who can really say, oh yeah, I wrote even half a book before. It's impressive to even for yourself, just to look back and go, oh geez, I wrote all that, all those pages. What was I doing with my life during then? But I did it, So just do it. There's no other excuse, really.
Jason, what would you say to a guy like me who struggled in his first effort? What would you say to encourage me to get back out there and give it a try?
I'd say join your local group, your local RIMO group, and get the encouragement from those folks. Because when we all go to a write-in and we sit around that table, and you can hear everybody tapping away, or you can hear somebody else's music in their headphones, because I don't wear headphones usually to write. It's kind of inspiring just being in that room with that energy. Come to the local group and we'll help you get through it, and we'll give you chocolate too, and that helps.
tell me a little bit about this local group. I know it's organized by a fellow RIMO guy. Yeah, Ted Boone.
Yeah.
Ted Boone. He's been doing this for, I think, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I think 5 years.
Something like that.
Yeah, this is his fifth year, sixth year. I'm not exactly. He's going to kill me now when he hears this. That's the problem.
So how do these work? You guys get together once a week? And
yeah, we meet on the first Sunday of the month at Mirth Cafe, which is coincidentally where Penny found Lucifer the Angel without his wings. Because I was in the room writing it, and it's like, this will work. So
oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we meet once a month about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we have a Google group, and we share manuscripts, and we talk about what we're doing, and we just kind of support each other. So
and this goes on throughout the year, right? This is
yeah.
just a November thing.
Yeah, every month. Right now, the group as it exists now is working on an anthology where all the stories are set in Lawrence. So we're hoping to do something with it, but right now it's just a project for all of us to keep working on.
And it's a pretty sizable group. I mean, don't you guys have a...
Yeah, there's anywhere from a dozen to 15 to 18, I think.
Okay.
That show up on a semi-regular basis. People come and go,
Sure.
So I missed this month's meeting, so...
John, what's for you, or I mean, I guess overall, all these people across the country doing this project, what's the value in this? Why is this something that people should do or try to do?
Because it's great once you're done and you just kind of sit back and you stare and you go, I've done something that I could never believe that I could do before. You start on the very beginning, the first day of NaNoWriMo or writing any book in general. And you think, I'm never going to finish this thing. I'm never going to get anywhere. And then once you're done, you just kind of sit back and you feel on top of the world. You feel like you've, solved a million mysteries. I don't really know what people do with their pastime these days, but it's something that's just, I can't put any value to it. It's invaluable. It's a kind of feeling that you just can't really describe too well, coming from a writer, of course. Can't put words to it.
what about you, Jason?
The value of it?
Yeah.
The real value of it is learning the habit of writing. For me, I when I was done on December 1st last year, I was like, what do I do now? And so I set myself a goal when I was writing just 6,000 words a month and trying to make them much better words in a much more coherent short story format. And so it taught me how to do it. And so I kept writing. I mean, since NaNoWriMo of last year, I wrote 72,000 more words. And then I piled another 58,000 on this year. So I've written more words in the last 13 months than I ever had in the previous 5 or 6 years. So.
And now that your second time's over, your first time's over, what's next for you, John? Are you gonna wait to next year to do this? You gonna keep writing throughout the year?
I gotta finish editing what I have now, and I gotta keep writing. Already a few days later, and I talking with some of my friends, and we decided, oh hey, we should write another book like this, and we bounced some ideas, and I was kind of like, all right, so I figured I was gonna write another book, but I also have to finish editing this one, which I'm not looking forward to, but. No, I'm not stopping. And then once next year rolls around, I'll do the next NaNoWriMo too, or whatever other competition I can find that's writing related, I guess. It's fun stuff, really.
And Jason, what's next for you in your writing career?
Well, I've the short stories that I started writing after NaNo last year, I'm putting up on a website, up on it's a blogger thing, but I do serialized stories, one story a month. And it's out there for, at jasonarnett.com if anybody wants to read them, and they're free. You know, that's the fun part about doing it, is doing that. I'm going to keep writing, keep putting stuff up on the web. So until eventually I find something that I really like and want to try and sell. So,
well, like I said, this is, you know, it's wonderful to have you guys in here, and I appreciate you guys. And, you know, I also appreciate we had 13 other local contestants, like I said, that finished the novel and submitted it for our contest. And I'm really hoping next year, you know, I mean, who knows? Hopefully we can keep this going and see if we can get a few more. So John Boone, Jason Arnett, appreciate you guys being here. And thanks so much for coming in and sharing some of your thoughts with us.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.